whole bunch of news to talk about. We got a big-time quarterback coming to Iowa City. We got guys in black and gold that are going to try and transfer out of the black and gold. It's been announced that we've got a rematch against Kentucky 2 years in a row. We're going to Music City, Nashville. What else? There's other things. Listen to our dumbasses talk for an hour. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Walk-Ons fans, episode 374 of the Not Hawks in the Championship Game podcast. But that's okay, because me and Kluber were just talking about the coolest idea that we've ever had. And I'm fully tempted thinking about this charity event that we are going to put together to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Swarm Collective and get really good players to come to Iowa City and have our brand attached to the University of Iowa football team. Forever.
Kluber.
It's the wheels are in motion, right? And Kev, the boys are gonna be back in town. All right. At some point.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
And Drake has a mic finally, which is good because for the last couple podcasts he hasn't had one. We will share more details on what Drake and I are kind of talking about here later. The idea, the concept is early. This is like right when you find out you're pregnant. I'm only making the analogy because that's my life right now. This is, we're 4 weeks pregnant? In. I'm not pregnant, although the way I've been eating last few days, last 2-3 weeks, it feels like I'm pregnant. Clearly the Swarm Collective is, it's working. It's working a little bit because the Hawks got a quarterback. And we're going to talk about that. And I had a little conversation with Brad. You know, we brought Brad Heinrichs on, leader of the Swarm Collective, I believe right before the season. I'm not sure when we got. Yeah, it was right before the season. And he told us about how they were going to start to get it done. And they needed your help as fans and as Hawkeye Nation to kind of start building this thing because, well, frankly, that is the state of the college football world right now. And it was a rough season, right? A lot of wishes and wants this holiday season for maybe some portal pickups, some transfers. And I don't follow the entire country, all 130 teams, but I'd have to imagine right now that Cade McNamara, to this point, supposedly great leader, great teammate, Big Ten championship quarterback who beat us last year in Indianapolis, got beat out this year by J.J. McCarthy.
No, he hurt his knee. He had knee surgery.
Got injured and wasn't the quarterback this year for Michigan, is now going to transfer to the Iowa Hawkeyes, one of the earliest pickups in the portal. And quite honestly, could be a pillar of recruiting for Iowa this offseason. So I guess we start there. I wasn't even going to talk about him tonight because there's so many other things to talk about, but let's start there. Thoughts on that, guys? When you saw the news, what came across your mind? There was reports and rumors swirling around middle of the week, but shit, this thing happened. Kev, welcome to the podcast, by the way. Let's get a...
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Let's get one of those going.
Good to be back. Good to be back. I don't think I was gone at all, but always good to be back.
Yeah. You weren't gone. What do you think about Cade McNamara in a Hawkeye uniform?
I think it's a good first step.
Come to Iowa City. Got a quarterback. Quarterback right now, up in the air, right? Petras technically has another year. Kind of look, he ran out on senior day. Looks like he might be done with his career as a Hawkeye. Padilla enters the transfer portal. That's also on the docket tonight. We've had multiple players enter the transfer portal, as has most teams around the country by this point. Right before this podcast kicked off, saw that Graham Mertz is in the portal for his final two seasons. Gonna step.
He has two more seasons.
I guess. I don't know.
Dude, how many seasons are they giving these kids now? It's ridiculous.
I think he's only been there for three so far.
But he played all of them.
Yeah, you get a COVID year.
It's crazy, dude.
Dude, like Stetson Bennett's like gonna be 26 or something like that in like a month or something.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett played his freshman year. True freshman year was our senior year. We're like 30, boys. That's nuts. So Padilla enters the transfer portal. He's not playing in the bowl game. Petrus hurt. I don't know where I saw this. It might have been in our Discord, which seems to be like a breaking news thread now. If you want breaking news, you can, you know, you can pay for Eichel or you can pay for Chad Lysico, or you can just come to our Discord because everything that's being tossed around in there seems to be correct. Things have been happening. So Padilla's in the transfer portal. And so, dude, guess what? This Hawkeye bowl game, which is also another topic on the docket tonight, it's labia season, baby.
It's crazy. Absolutely
what
crazy.
What is the word on the Petrus injury? Is he not going to be able to go?
I heard it was a partially torn labrum. I don't know if there's anything to that, but that's what I heard.
I don't think I've met a football player with a fully healthy labrum before in my life. What are we talking about?
Do I count?
You MRI any football player's shoulders, and they're I think there's going to be some tears in there, boys.
Who just made that joke? Was that Ike like 2 weeks ago that made that joke?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody in our Benton chat, except for me, has fucked up labrums. Good for me.
You don't feel any clicking and clacking when you put it through a nice little range of motion?
My right one's always clicked, like one click. But that was before college even. So I guess I could have heard it linebacker in high school, but I doubt it. Who needs labrums, right? I mean, who needs a labrum? I don't even have to believe or not. Kirk had a presser today and said that Petrus will not be playing in the bowl game. So there you go.
Oh, well, there you go. So that solves that. So yeah, it's Joey Labus time, huh?
It's Joey Labus.
All right. Well,
we could make an absolutely disgusting t-shirt.
We're not going to.
For Joey Labus.
We're not going to. No, we're not.
But we could.
But we're not.
Just put two.
I'm in.
I know you're in. You're a fucking asshole. There was another
one of the treat is like he can sling it around a little bit. Just needs to be a little bit more careful with the ball. But you know, if you got 3 weeks knowing that you're the guy and can work within a game plan, we'll see what he can do.
I will say, yeah, I agree that you know, like a month, not a full month, but a month to prepare doesn't hurt. Like that's no doubt a help to him. It'll be interesting. This makes it weird. What is, you know, you go into games and you play to win, and the Hawks will be going to the Music City Bowl. I feel like everything we say is like a big ticket item. People in the portal, our bowl game, fucking Cade McNamara. There's so much shit going on right now. We're about to start a third string quarterback who hasn't played a snap.
So whack that they play in the Music City Bowl in the same calendar year that I move out of that city.
Yeah.
More whack that we're playing the same team in a different bowl game as last year.
A rematch. Well,
when you go 7-5, you don't really get to pick and choose, you know?
That's true. That's a good point. There's something to that. I will say this, what you guys may disagree, for Iowa's year that they had, Music City probably best case scenario.
Absolutely. After after they lost to Nebraska, was that Duke's Mayo or Pinstripe? They absolutely got the best of the three.
Drivable location for Iowa fans.
Oh, and the fans have been dying to go to that game for a long time. You know, obviously Nashville's a fun place to hang out for a weekend. I just wish it was a season that we felt a little bit better about so we could be a little more enthusiastic about going.
Right.
Bro,
yeah.
The Nashville downtown is going to make a bazillion dollars off of Hawk fans.
So many dollars.
They're going to try and drink Nashville dry. And I know that that's hard to do.
The Swarm Collective should honestly try to work their way into a cut of the alcohol sales from downtown Nashville.
Dude, 1 cent from every alcohol sale and you'd still have $100,000.
They're going to drink a lot of beer. They're going to drink a lot of beer. And Iowa fans are going to have a good time. But Kevin, I'm with you. I do wish as well that there was maybe a little bit more confidence, hype, enthusiasm, rhythm going into this game. With a third string quarterback that has not played any snaps, there's likely to be some bumps with that. And granted, it's not like the offense has been super smooth to begin with this year, but that's certainly not to our advantage. It's going to be interesting to play Kentucky. Kentucky's definitely no slouch team. I'm not sure. Do you know off the top of your head what they finished? Were they 8-4?
They were 7-5 as well. Yeah. Okay. So they probably a little disappointed about the way their season turned out as well. But Will Levis is projected to be like one of the top quarterbacks taken off the board come spring. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good football team. They kind of struggled on offense a little bit, but they had a pretty solid defense and bet the under.
Which, I mean, it'll probably be like mid 30s again, 40 with Labus as a quarterback. I would almost guarantee it's in the 30s.
Yeah, that's more so like, who's he going to throw the ball to? Is Laporta going to be playing this game?
Laporta and Cooper DeJean will both be healthy for the bowl game.
Good.
That was out of KF's mouth as well. So the only guy that we won't have is Petrus, it sounds like. And that sucks for him. That sucks. Because if that is his last college football game, that's just not the way you want your career to end, is by not being able to participate due to injury. You can say what you want about his statistics and his performance, which another former Iowa Players podcast made a tweet. Really back in
Petrus. Those guys stink, dude. They stink.
I mean, I think I have to imagine they knew what they were doing with that one, talking about how and nothing they said was, well, I guess on the statistical side of things, nothing they said was wrong. They did claim that the Petrus to Reganey was the best moment in Kinnick history,
which lit up our group chat pretty good.
That is what we call clickbait, gentlemen, and it generates revenue. So
and it works. And I don't, you know, and I props to them, because I think that's what they were doing. You know, I think we had a conversation and it actually sparked an idea for an episode. Not, you know, we're idiots on this podcast. We're three big old dummies, right?
Well, and, two and a half. Kevin's half a real smart guy.
You're right. And we realized, hey, we should do an entire episode, not just a top five segment. We're going to do a top 10 episode of top 10 greatest moments in Kinnick history. And you know, the tweet that these guys made was probably showing their youth a little bit, considering that these guys were born in 2000, I think, maybe 99. Petrus to Reganey against Penn State, unbelievable moment. Probably not even a top 10 if you were to poll 1,000 Hawkeye fans. So, but it would be fun to do a top 10.
Dude, I'm thinking of top 10 right now, and I mean, it's pretty good plays.
There's some damn good plays that have happened in Kinnick. Damn good plays.
Been there for a handful of them.
Been there for a few. Definitely, probably at least one. Duncan to beat Michigan is probably a top tenner.
Oh, yeah. Hooker to start Ohio State.
That's up there.
Marshall
to beat Pitt.
Yeah.
To keep an undefeated season alive.
Sheesh. I mean, come on now. Kulik touchdown to put Ohio State in the body bags?
No.
Wasn't going to add that one to the list, actually. I think Sean Green might make that list in some capacity. But
trick or treat, Tyler Sash?
I was going to put Sash to Micah on that list.
Amazing play. God, I'll never forget that play.
08, walk-off win versus Penn State.
Yep. Yep.
We're ruining this list right now. What are we doing?
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll come back around. We'll have our top 10 solidified, and we'll have debates around it. But that sparked an idea. Nonetheless, where I was going with that was, say what you want about Petrus's stats, his performance. That kid stood in front of a podium and ate it and just took it in the face more than any other guy potentially in the history of Iowa football.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, being the quarterback, you know, in the social media age of college football, it's him.
Tough age.
Yeah, it's basically him, Stanley, Petrus, Rudock, Vandenberg. Are like the guys, like, when social media is like big and people can talk shit on social media, he's definitely taking the most shit out of that group of people, right?
Easy.
And therefore the most shit probably of any Iowa football player of all time.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no possible way with the social media's effect on how fast and how much volume of buzz and news can move online. There's no way that, like,
yeah, I'm going to end this debate. He 1,000,000% ate the most punches of any Iowa player ever.
Just swallowed shit.
He has an iron fucking chin. Regardless of what you say about his striking ability, his chin is undeniable.
It's a great reference. That's a good enough.
And honestly, that's a pretty good compliment, in my opinion.
Hard to say that in the business world, when Spencer moves on to get a job, that he'll ever face as much ridicule or fucking being held accountable by.
Are you kidding me?
Never.
Dude, ever. Life is – he can't wait to get done with football because life is going to be so much easier for the
easy.
Kid.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, unless he starts a crypto exchange and then uses other people's balances to fund your hedge fund, and then their hedge fund goes broke and then you can't pay back those, then you might take a little bit more shit. But other than that, yeah, you should be all right.
Drake and I haven't even talked about that, but that is the FTX thing is dickhead move of the year.
Of the millennium.
Yeah.
Bro.
That and Firefest, right? Like, and then Kanye.
Firefest was pretty bad. Yeah, unless Spencer starts the next FTX, he's going to get, like, you know, he's going to run into some problem at his job, and they're going to be like, hey man, I know this is a tough one for you, and, you know, we just want to hold you accountable. And he's going to be like, dude, I got absolutely pissed on by 70,000. This is
a 20-year-old kid.
As a 21-year-old, this is nothing to me. Respect the hell out of him. Great Hawk. Great at public speaking and answering the questions that he had to go through. I really truly hope that he comes on our podcast. I don't know if he will or not. Every guy that we reach out to, it's hit or miss. You know, some guys don't like doing that. They don't, you know, they want to leave football behind. You guys always ask us all the time, like, hey, will you guys reach out and have this guy on? If you think of a name, especially somebody that we played with or since then, we've probably reached out to them. If they haven't been on yet, there's a good chance that they didn't respond or they said no. So some people just don't want to come on. But if Spencer would come on, first of all, Spence, it would do great numbies. I mean, if you want to help the walk-ons out, it'd be fantastic. But two, I think people that have found respect for him would find whole new levels of respect for the man. And he's going to be successful whatever he ends up doing. Regardless, he's done, and that's tough. And it's Joey Labus time. It was but 2 years ago when the walk-ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company, we did our first merch run, and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the washed up walk-ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise. We're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second, but first we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com, to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brands. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons. How do they go into this bowl game? Like, what? You always expect to win, right?
A whole lot of blocks and 9-on-7 for the next 2 weeks.
Christmas doubles?
The boys are going to be put to work here until game week.
I can't hear you, Drake.
No doubt at all. Drake, you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself. I said Christmas doubles, baby.
Might have to.
Dude, just think about it. We've gone over how bad that sucked. They're about to learn.
Yeah, for the fans out there, Kirk said, came out and said, you know, he sees this offseason being compared to the 2014, you know, bowl season. Mm. Well, 2014 bowl season was not fun.
Hell for on the boys. Earth.
Listeners of this show are going to maybe have a physical reaction to that with how we've described the bowl prep of 14.
So, you know,
good luck to the fellas is all I got to say.
Dude, I feel bad. I feel real bad.
Do a quick recap, bad. You know. Summer workouts are hard, then you get beat up in camp, and then you have like a 13-week grueling season, right?
Yeah.
You get beat up, it hurts. Your body is just piss pounded by the end of it.
You have a heartbreaking ending to the season.
Right. Then you get a week of finals where you're just cramming as much information into your head as possible for a week, dump it all out. And then, you know, you get the privilege of having 2-a-days in December.
I'll never. Dude, I never.
I was in straight depression. I was hurting physically and mentally.
Add on top
that
of
that. That was one of the most down bad I've ever been in life.
Yeah.
Bro, I think the whole fucking building was just miserable.
Add on top of this that the nature of how, like, the time of year, where it's now gotten cold and the sun isn't out as long. Like, you're already adding in seasonal depression to this. And now, dude, I'll never forget. They used to put the schedules on the TVs. You remember that?
Oh, and yeah.
In the All-American room, that's where I saw it for the first time. The first schedule day came out they uploaded it to the TV and I saw, oh fuck.
That is when we had just moved into the new complex.
Just moved it. We moved in during that bull prep.
We're going to break this new complex in and we're going to be here for 12 hours.
The entire month.
By the way, Drake, for that live event that we were talking about,
yeah,
thought about me and Kevin coming out in KF impersonation.
That
would, okay, we got the fucking would
probably do pretty well amongst the patrons, if
the constituents. Well, patrons would actually be a great word for it, because anybody that signs up for the Patreon is going to have first bop at ticket sales to that event when it rolls around. I remember seeing two practices on the same calendar day on that TV screen, and we all kind of looked at each other like,
is that
real?
Does that say two practices? Did they misprint this? What the fuck is going on?
Is this legal? I'm pretty sure they said something against this in the Geneva Convention or something.
Don't we have what? Isn't there fucking, like, people start pulling out stuff that we learn about on day one? Hey, we got care hours, man. 20 care hours.
Goddamn war crime.
This is fucking, am I getting stipend for this?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if they actually get doubled for this month coming up. I doubt it, but I do fully expect them to get some really long and physical practices in. And
I was just about to say, what if every practice is just a spring ball Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably more likely.
That is, that's a nightmare.
Well, I mean, you look at the year that we had, right? And there's a lot of guys that still need to grow and develop. And sometimes it takes getting thrown in the fire to do that. And this,
golly, that stinks for the fellas.
No, what it really stinks for is for the seniors who are just like, oh my God, I just want to play this last game. And
so ass for the seniors, dude. I hope they go easy on them. Jack Campbell
brought up Brandon Sheriff in the chat. He's like, Sheriff came back for his senior year to bull prep doubles.
Do you remember how gaslit we were by the fucking coaches that bull prep, where they put up those sheets of paper that said SEC opponent, January 1st, Florida or something like that. And it was like, okay, you're right. Yes. But hey, we fucking suck. All right.
Our legs are gone.
And if it was really that important, right? If you're playing this thing up, SEC opponent, I just remember looking at it in my mind and just like making my own fun of it. Like January 1st, SEC opponent, Florida bowl game. And I'm just like, well, if it's that important, then why are you running us into the chainsaw? Like, what are you doing? We're pushing prowlers and we got a game in 4 days, huh? Like, it was not good, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if it'll be the same. The one difference is
they
don't have...
Do you remember the training facilities we had in Jacksonville, boys and girls?
They weren't good.
They were less than high school.
It was high school.
Then it was a really dog shit high school.
Brother, we were in like the boonies of Jacksonville. We weren't even in Jacksonville.
I'm pretty sure KF, once we finished that season, was just like, hey, any way we can fucking we want the worst. Give us everything the worst. Put us in the worst hotel. We're going to teach these motherfuckers a lesson.
Dude, they put us on a plantation in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere. God, fuck, that was bad. What they don't have, the difference between 2014 and 2022 is they don't have Coach Doyle there. And they already got in trouble over there for being too big on discipline. So... maybe it won't be quite as tough.
Yeah, let's put this subject to the bed. They are not going to enjoy their bowl prep season until they go down to the bowl game.
Yeah. And yeah.
And they're still not going to enjoy it for the first couple days of that.
And with a third string quarterback, they might not enjoy the game either.
And they're not going to enjoy the offseason. I can promise you that. They won't enjoy spring ball.
Cause that's
so
just not-
the next bit of enjoyment that these fellas are going to have is summer conditioning before it gets unbelievably hard.
Maybe. I mean, it'll be interesting with, I want to move into the portal news and how many guys, I mean, just in the past 3 days, I think Padilla was earlier on in the week, but it was Padilla, Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce, Gavin Williams, Drake, be nice.
Has to mute himself.
I think it was coughing, but Drake.
Dude, Arlen Bruce is a pussy. Arlen Bruce, you're a pussy.
Okay. This is what you're going to see. This is now college football. This is
quitter football, dude. It's quitter football.
It's different. It's definitely different.
Quitter culture, dude. It's I don't care about my teammates. I don't care about anything that we're trying to build. I just care about myself. And it's not my fault that I'm not playing. It's these people's fault, so I'm going somewhere else. It's quitter ass pussy bullshit.
Okay, I get it. I get it. In a lot of cases, it is, hey, things aren't working out. It's going to be tough for me to find playing time. I don't want tough. Can I get it easier somewhere else? In a lot of cases, that is going to be the situation. However, there's going to be plenty of cases where it's merit, right? Or it would have happened anyway before this whole transfer portal craziness. Drake, we've talked about your career, how you considered quitting.
Well, I consider just quitting, period, once KF rescinded my scholarship after what I had put into that program.
Sure. And I get that. Everyone's going to have their individual situation and shit that's happened to them in their time at their university. Imagine that the portal, and again, you're a fullback, so I don't know how high commodity you would have been.
Well, I graduated already. I didn't need a portal. I could have grad transferred anywhere I wanted. Like, right. And I was just going to quit. Like, I wasn't even going to transfer. I was just going to quit in his face, but my dad talked me out of it.
Well, Papa Kulik gets points for that one.
He always talked sense into me, dude, because when I was talking to him, I was in senseless rage.
Yeah, yeah. This is how, I mean, this is the landscape of college football now. Monday, I believe, is when tomorrow, when you're listening to this. As you listen to this, you're probably also reading on Twitter, so-and-so commits here, so-and-so commits here. Every team is going to have, hell, I don't know, 10 scholarship guys, maybe more, leave in the portal every season. And it's going to be weird. It's going to feel weird because that is not how it feels like
free agency every year.
Yeah.
Did anyone who was getting significant playing time during our time ever really leave? Or I feel like as guys who are mostly kind of buried on the depth chart or had, you know, gotten in trouble, discipline issues, and
I can't think
of anybody. Can you think of one off the top of your head?
Reese.
He wasn't starting, though. And that was the main reason. Like, he was competing for a starting job that year, didn't get it, and he's like, I'm out of here.
I don't know anybody who got significant play. I can't think of anybody who got significant playing time who then ended up transferring. No one like a Keegan or an Arland or a Gavin. No. And that's just the way it is now. And it's interesting because to some extent, like, hey, if you don't get playing time or you don't get what you want here, like, are there places out there where you're going to, are you going to find that spot magically where you're going to, who knows? Like they're,
I mean, if you just want to play and just go find somewhere to play, more power to you. I, you know, like we had some friends that went down to lower level of competition just so they could play the game of football.
Right? Yeah, you're right.
Respect.
Absolutely.
Being a starter and just leaving because good riddance, dude. Good fucking riddance to both of you.
I get it.
Here's my biggest thing about this whole thing is, you know, people on the fans worry about, like, you know, guys leaving and stuff. Like, if you don't want to be here, quite honestly, just do us a favor and get the fuck out, right? Yeah. We need to go to war with the guys who want to be here. And if you don't want to be here and your heart's not 100% in on being an Iowa Hawkeye, you're not doing yourself or us any favors.
But I'm going to put you in the same exact category as we put that kid. I literally don't even remember his name. I'm blanking. White kid. What's his name? The receiver.
Hey, white kid.
The receiver that transferred to us, then transferred away. Not Charlie Jones. The kid from Iowa City. Oliver Martin. Yeah. I put you in the same fucking category as Oliver Martin. It's Oliver Martin, Keegan Johnson, and Arlen Bruce. Three massive pussies. All three of you can go sit on a plunger and throw up.
And Drake giving you his clear and honest opinions.
Hey, and this is what you get with the washed up walk-ons. I'm not even going to say we don't hold back because honestly, I do hold back. Like, let's be honest. I don't speak my mind 100% all the time because we have a guy we have a guy who has that job and he's sitting right there in the top right corner of the screen. And I'm not even faulting you for that, Drake. I agree on the, if you're not with us, if you don't want to be here, if you're having doubts, then leave. Because I have seen what it takes for my teammates to be successful at a high level playing hard positions. I'm not even talking about myself. I'm talking about teammates of mine that played big time positions, linebackers, receivers, quarterbacks, linemen, basically everything other than special teams. It just takes a lot to be, you know, to be it at the Division I level. And if you're not all in mentally, you're probably not giving it your all a lot of the time or any of the time. And that's going to be tough for you to find your potential. It's a little bit disrespectful to your teammates and your coaches and even yourself. If you really want to go and find the best version of yourself, then just staying somewhere where you're not all in is not probably the best decision for you. But, I will say I'm 90% of the way there with you guys in this specific situation. As a receiver at the University of Iowa in the last two seasons, boy, there's not a lot that's helping you to stick around. I will put that out there. Now the argument to that is, well, you kind of knew what you were signing up for. So, you know, I don't know. Cade McNamara comes in and fuck it. There's rumors of new offensive staff that are going to come in and who knows, right? Maybe this offense changes. And if you stay, something happens and all of a sudden you're getting more catches and more looks and you're happy now as a receiver. I don't know.
I think a lot of the transfer portal stuff too is, you know, everyone thinks they're going to the NFL, right?
Yeah. Even I did.
And you know, it's just not in the cards for 90% of college football players, right?
Even more probably. Yeah,
no, I mean, it's like 90%, you really never even had a
oh yeah
hope, right?
Sure.
Less than 1% actually go,
right? You know, yeah, you're I get what you're saying. A few more percent get a chance, a look.
And I think everyone's, you know, chasing around like, I got to get more playing time. I got to get more targets. I get more catches. And I think a lot of these guys think they're a lot better than they actually fucking are. I mean, it's just facts, man. Like,
you're right.
People end up in the portal with no home to go to. And then every year, more and more juniors and underclassmen come out for the draft that don't get drafted.
Yeah, those numbers are always crazy.
Touchdown, Kevin Ward. He hit that son of a bitch on the head.
You're right. You're right. In the end, a lot of these guys are going to be wrong. They're leaving because they think they can go be a dude, and for some reason, Iowa's not the spot, and it's not their fault. It's Iowa's fault. It's their teammates' fault.
It turns out well for people, right?
And sometimes that is the case.
Worked out. Couldn't have worked out better for the kid.
Who'd you say?
For Charlie Jones?
Yeah, I was just going to say Charlie. Right.
Yeah, even before, good for him. Still lost to the Hawks. Yeah.
Still not happy about him. Still not happy about him.
0-2 in Big Ten championships. Kind of feel for him, you know. but for a guy like Charlie, I get it. He was at Buffalo. You know, if you're going to come from a lower school to go get a chance, I mean, arguably Charlie is the he's going to get drafted now, right? And
probably,
I mean, he's got a chance to go seventh.
He's a day three guy. Yeah. He could be a day three guy for sure.
No,
the Patriots are salivating over him. I mean, Belichick is just, I mean, ready to bust watching Charlie Jones film. But for a guy like Charlie, he's the outlier.
There's
right?
probably going to be Belichick, Charlie Jones memes all over the internet.
Gotta be. Someone's gonna
soon to be there, that's gonna happen.
And so for the fringe guys, Charlie Jones starts at Buffalo, makes a little bit of a name for himself, comes to Iowa, right? Now he's at a bigger school, a little bit more publicity. Doesn't get quite the stats, but does just enough on kick return special teams to show that he's a ball player, goes to a place that throws the rock around a bunch, has an unbelievable year. He's the outlier. You're not going to be Charlie Jones. Probably. There'll be a couple. But more often than not, the story goes, you transfer to a different school. I mean, hey, how's Deuce Hogan doing, right? Anybody heard from him? I mean,
we'll catch up with him next month, I guess.
We'll talk to him in fucking Music City. Yeah. See how his career's going. I think he's third string. So, and granted, you know, one of the top quarterbacks coming out of this class, but I still think he's not, I don't think he's the second string guy. Deuce thought he was going to go be a dude, transfer to Kentucky. I think he had to walk on there.
He did.
So now he's not even getting a scholarship. And there's a good chance that nobody ever hears from Deuce. And I have nothing against the kid, but it's just like, that's how some of these careers play out. Oliver, Drake brought him up. Went to Michigan, flashed a little bit, shit didn't work out. Came to Iowa City, flashed for a game, shit didn't work out. Went to Nebraska, he's caught on there for, you know, I think this is his last season, or maybe he's got one more year, but
he's been average at best, you know.
He's been, you know, just another guy.
From a highly recruited guy who, you know, sticks at Michigan, kid probably has a much better career than he had panned out for him. You know, maybe if this path made him happier, by all means, power to you. But if you're talking about your NFL draft potential, I probably would have stuck at Michigan if I were you, kid.
So it just, you know, this portal thing, just not going to work out for a lot of people. And it is now going to be what it is because of NIL and immediate transfer rules. This is the new landscape. You're just going to have to get used to it. And Arlen and Keegan, good luck to you, you know. You guys see Tyler Barnes' tweet today? He pissed people off.
Bro, I'm pissed at Tyler Barnes.
Really?
Reached out to him, said, hey, Tyler, this is Drake Kulik. I'm down in Arizona. Got sent film of a running back down here. Kid's listed at 5'11", 230. He's a white running back. runs hard as shit, but he's not a Division I running back. He's currently committed to Drake University in Iowa. Obviously would like to play down the road in Iowa City a little bit. So I reached out and I was like, hey, maybe take a look at this kid's film. Obviously all fullbacks walk on. So it's not like you got to worry about a scholarship, but like, you think this kid could play fullback for you?
Crickets.
He might have seen it and just not responded.
But I didn't give him the kid's name.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I thought initially you were going to say you were pissed at him for the tweet that I was about to bring up.
No, I couldn't care less about the tweet.
Did you see it?
I think that somebody put it in our group chat, right?
Yeah. It was in the Discord, I think. That's probably where you saw it.
Discord.
So yesterday, at about, would have been towards the end of the game, Big Ten championship game, which starts way too late, by the way. Started earlier, huh? Trying to go to sleep. he tweets, wait. In the Big Ten title game, the winning quarterback was 11 for 17 for 161 yards with 3 touchdowns and just 1 interception. But all I hear is how these dudes want to go places where they just line up 5 wide and sling it. Am I missing something? # lots of ways to win games. Now,
well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a 16-year-old quarterback at some high school and who the fuck knows where, yeah, that is probably what you want. I think a older, more mature player, coach, person knows that what Tyler said is also true, right?
And this pissed Iowa fans off because, one, and this is just a personal Tyler Kluver opinion, but it is my perception that fans think that Twitter has so much more power than it does in decisions that actually get made inside of the building, or that Twitter has power over like legitimate decisions that recruits and transfers are making. It doesn't, right? It doesn't. They think that a lot of people thought this was a bad look by TB, that it's gonna shoo away all of the receivers that we could possibly get in the transfer portal. And that
it's not a bad look for that reason. It's a little bit of like, it almost feels a little bit sarcastic after the struggles that we've had on offense. You know, I don't know. It's not a great tweet from that perspective, in my opinion.
That's what a lot of people thought as well, is like, Hey,
they're undefeated and they're in the title, or they're like playing for a national title. Like, we're not the same.
I think the general sentiment is you're often, you work for a team who offensively threw for 5 total touchdowns all year. We probably shouldn't tweet at all. I think that's what most people are saying. Now, that's, in my opinion, someone who gets really bent up over this tweet by Tyler Barnes, who isn't even a coach. He's just part of the staff. You're taking Twitter too seriously. Hey, chill, right?
Hey, log out for a couple of days.
Hey, huh? Buddy, let the thumbs rest, huh?
Go to a mountain, lose signal, and hang out for a sec.
Yeah. Find some hash, man. Smoke it up. Relax.
Whoopsie.
I read this tweet, and again, this is like narcissistic, self-centered me. I'm not telling you that this is how you should take it, but this is just for perspective of how other people are taking it out there. I read it and I say, Tyler Barnes making a point that if you play balanced football and you only throw it 17 times for 3 touchdowns, you can still win a big time football game. He's just making a point that executing a balanced football offensive attack is still effective these days, and that you don't have to throw it 60 times a game. Makes sense. That's how I read that tweet. It becomes no more serious than that. yes, I recognize a little bit of the sarcastic tone and a little bit of a slight, you know, punchback at all of Hawkeye Nation on Twitter from this year saying, you know, your complaints of we're ass, we're trash, all that. But like, hey, let's just calm down, in my opinion, you know?
I agree with you, Ty. I think I he was just trying to get away across the point of, you know, Michigan, the way that they their offensive philosophy is basically the same as what we want to be. Is they run the ball extremely well and have a efficient short passing game.
Yep.
They just do it out of a different style. They're more of a spread team. We tend to line up under center a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Sarcasm, yeah, just didn't go over well with some fans, which I get, I guess, whatever.
And it's also my thing, like, hey, if these fans get to sit back and just fuck bags of Cheetos and just shit on and just shit on the coaching staff and the players all year, why can't a guy that's on the inside poke a little fun back at the, you know, it's just a little fun. It's not
you can
serious.
You can, but then you typically want to have something to fall back on when somebody punches you back with, dude, you had 5 total passing touchdowns in 12 games. Like, that's a knockout shot. Like, like saying 11 for 17 with 3 touchdowns and 1 interception, like the Hawkeye fans have been begging for that type of production.
I think Tyra is basically just, like I said, defending what the overall offensive philosophy is.
Yeah, defending the philosophy. And I'm all about the philosophy.
We just didn't do a good job of executing the philosophy.
Right. Right. We just didn't execute. He's just trying to point out that
the philosophy is sound and can work when you have guys that are good and execute. And mainly, Michigan has arguably the best offensive line in the country.
And he's tweeting it on the heels of getting the goddamn Michigan quarterback, the biggest transfer in the portal so far, that, you know, in this fresh new 2023 season. So Barnsey's feeling himself a little bit, right? And he probably knows who they're going to grab at receiver. I've been hearing about an Alabama receiver.
Well, then, but maybe they're going to throw it more than 17 times if they got a fresh quarterback, a fresh stable of receivers. I mean,
All I'm saying is at this point, we can't go back and play those 12 games. Barnes isn't even on the goddamn staff calling plays or developing these positions. He hands them off after he recruits them.
He doesn't even get to decide who to recruit.
Right.
It's like, say, hey, we want this guy.
And then he goes after him.
I'll go get him.
So Barnes is like, hey, I'm going to get you players. I'm going to get you some guys now. Right. And that's what they're doing, starting with McNamara. We're going to save a little bit more Cade talk for when I have to imagine, as you're listening to this today on a Monday, that some more news is breaking, that I was picking up some more guys here and there. Supposedly a Stanford running back was in town this weekend. Iowa was his second choice, and he entered the portal out of Stanford. Not that we necessarily are direly in need of a running back, but it never hurts to have too many good players. And so I guess there's
going to miss Gavin at all on our offense.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that really hurts us in the slightest.
Yeah. Caleb and LaShawn could easily handle it by themselves. And I think that Jason Patterson has a lot of promise in him as well. So, and then if we get this kid from frickin' Stanford, I mean, who knows? Lot of receiver speculation for the Hawks. So we're going to talk about all the guys that they bring in kind of when we get some more news. Obviously, Cade is a big one. And the fact that it's coming out that Brad and the Swarm Collective were a big part of getting Cade to Iowa City, that's huge news as well, which is why we are so excited to eventually, hopefully in the year 2023, do a live podcasting event, dinner, banquet, auction, collaboration with the Swarm Collective to raise a shitload of money. Again, we will have more information on that as it goes. That is a sort of a brainstorm idea right now that could turn into an extremely cool thing. Let's finish with this. There were a bunch of games over the weekend. We didn't recap them. I went 1-2, and I just feel like that really
You are a freaking 1-2 machine.
I can go 1-2. If you want me to go, if you want me to bat 333, I'll go to the Hall of Fame, right? I'll go to the Hall of Fame.
That sends you to the Hall in the MLB for sure. You do 10 years of that. Yeah.
And I'll go 1-2 for you. And it's proven this year.
That sends you to bankruptcy in sports betting.
you're goddamn right. Unless you're getting lucky and you're putting all the units on your 1 out of 3 each weekend. Started hot, right? Started hot. Stanford gets it done, beats up on USC. Not Stanford, Utah. Sorry, I'm thinking teams in California. Utah gets it done, beats USC for the second time this year, handily. Caleb Williams got hurt. Nonetheless, Utah covers, right? I like that pick. North Texas couldn't get it done for me. God damn it, North Texas. UTSA, they ran him out of the building. That's okay, right? 1-1. Now all I need is TCU to cover and fucking Kansas State Wildcats, you know? They made it a game. They made it dirty. There were some questionable coaching calls in that game.
Yeah. Very. Let's just go right into my bets with that, because I had the over in that game. We go to overtime at 28-28. My number is 62. Mm. And they got it. Third down, less than half a yard away. Mm. Turn around and hand it off twice. You sneak the damn thing in.
Sneak the football.
Kick the field goal. And Kevin's a winner there. Kluver might end up winning his bet as well.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
And Drake might end up winning, going 3-0, like I predicted. Money
Drake
lines,
lost TCU. His 3-0 money line guarantees I'm going 3-0.
TCU coach shits the bed. Congratulations, bud.
I mean, that is the type of stuff, though, that as a coaching decision just drives me like insane. Like, this doesn't make any sense. A full yard, I can understand it, but less than half a yard, there's almost no way to stop a quarterback sneak.
Especially if you motion the tight end in. Set a fullback in there, have him line up 1 yard short, motion a tight end in, snap the ball when he's on the hip. You got two guys pushing behind the quarterback.
I don't know if you saw, dude, but they had like an open A gap too.
Yeah.
It was like a 1 and a 3 tech.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no one in the left side A gap.
And yes. Boy, Duggan's a dog too. He's going to get that, right?
He's got two tries at it.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter about the quarterback, man. You just, like, get a fullback to run up his ass, and it's, like, almost an unstoppable play. But, you know, TCU doesn't like winning Big 12 championships. We'll see how they fare in the college football playoff. I can't believe that
they get a redemption, though, because when you're number 3 and you lose your title game like that, you have to feel like it's over.
I mean, they're still playing for a national title, so it ain't.
No, but what I'm saying is it's crazy that they get the redemption to play for a chance at a national title. Because, like, when we lost our Big Ten title game, we didn't get the redemption chance in the playoffs. Like, they get the opportunity to redeem themselves. That's kind of cool. There's no way they felt like they were going to get that opportunity.
Pretty similar situation between us and TCU. Not all the way. I kind of feel like we got cheated now, because there's going to be – it's going to be Ohio State and Michigan. I feel like they should have taken us, but I think the other teams deserved it more than some.
Buddy, did you see what happened to Michigan State in that game?
I did, but I still want the opportunity. They
beat worse than us than by Stanford. I think they did.
I wanted to be sacrificed to the Alabama Roll Tide.
You know, I did. I wanted to play them one time, too.
Yeah. That would have been cool to play them, but Rose Bowl is cool until the game started.
Until it wasn't.
Sacrificed to the trees, the Cardinals, the Cardinal.
To the resurrected Christ.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, moving on. The American League game, I had the over on like 56 and a half, I think it was. That game goes over by a lot. Tulane wins 45-28. And then I had the over in the SEC game, which was at 50.5. Georgia puts up 50 by themselves. 50-30 is your final score. A TCU lack of quarterback sneak keeps me from going 3-0. So 2-1.
Proud of you. Hey, I'm proud of you, Kevin.
Hey, I'm proud of me too, but this is just fucking bullshit. I'm irate still about this.
I tell you what, Georgia's goddamn good at football, huh?
Like, Georgia is a good football team. I think Ohio State could match up well. I think Ohio State can score points with them.
I agree.
LSU's got a pretty damn good defense too. They got put in terrible spots all night and they didn't actually give up all those points, but they played decent on defense.
They played okay. Yeah, I mean,
decent on defense.
He hasn't that great a defense, to be honest with you.
All right. Well,
they played decent on defense like Iowa played decent on defense against Ohio State. Gave up 52.
I mean, so I look at it like the last team that
They got the four right. I think they got the four right.
I agree with you too. They definitely got the four most deserving teams in. I think Michigan matches up really well versus TCU.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a touchdown favorite. So and it's probably already out by now, but they have Georgia as a what do you think Georgia favorite is over Ohio State?
10?
I was going to say 8.
6.5.
That's
got to take Georgia.
Got to. I think I'm on Georgia if it stays there.
All I'm saying is that Ohio State has some dudes at wide receiver that can cause problems for Georgia, they might be able to just keep up the scoring with them.
Stroud's a baller too.
Yeah, and sometimes this year that the Georgia offense has struggled at times, and Ohio State's got a solid defense. I think it'll be a good game. Michigan opens up as a 9.5 point favorite over TCU.
Yeah, I could see that.
TCU can keep it closer to 9.5.
They definitely can. Will they? That's the question.
TCU probably winning at halftime, and then Michigan will score like 30 in the second half. Though,
seriously.
Michigan's second half has just been unreal this year.
I think TCU is like a big second half team as well, though. They were like
they made a nice comeback in the Big 12 title game. Like they were down early.
I think the stat going into that game was they had been down at halftime 5 times this year, and they were 5-0. Obviously, in those games they hadn't lost. I think Alabama here's the rub every year. Did we get the four best teams, right? Are we looking for the most four deserving teams or the four best teams? And the argument is that even if Alabama resume-wise is just outside of deserving, they're probably talent-wise and football-wise still in the top four. I actually don't know if that's the case this year. I do believe that they're right there at 5 or 6 if they're not in the top four best teams. But none of this really matters because it is what it is. And in 2 years, it's going to be a 12-team playoff, which I'm excited for. I think it's too many teams, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, 8 would be the ideal number. And just to track back on your one point there, I think it's got to be resume-based because
you can
always say like, oh, but they have more talent. I was like, well, then they should have won more games, you know?
Right. If we're going to do that, then Alabama's just automatically in every year.
It's all right. Like last year when Iowa was ranked number 2, I think everyone knew we weren't the second best team in the country, but we had the second best resume in the country at the time.
Right. Correct. Yes. Let me check to see if there's anything else that I wanted to talk about. A lot of this stuff will probably just be sort of recycled with just new information or twist to it as we go through this.
Didn't Clemson win the ACC title game with their freshman quarterback?
I did not watch it. Did they end up pulling what's his name?
I'm pretty sure they did because I watched Cade Klubnik or whatever throw about a 60-yard dime piece.
It was 39-10. They beat the shit out of North Carolina, and Klubnik was 20 of 24 for 279 and a touchdown. So, yeah, he played a significant amount.
Whoops. Now,
would have been interesting if they didn't get their asses kicked by South Carolina a couple weeks ago.
True.
Yeah, true. Because otherwise, that would have been it would have been them over TCU because they would have won their conference title, and they would have each had a
state. I mean, South Carolina ended a couple of playoff. They ended
Tennessee.
They trounced Tennessee, and then they beat Clemson and basically took them out, both those teams out of contention.
Yeah, the Cocks had a good year. Good year to be a Cock.
Good year to be a Cock.
Do we have anything else? Anything else to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think a lot has happened in the last week. I think a lot more is going to happen the next week.
A lot more is going to happen. Yeah, we're going to have plenty to talk about.
Say your prayers for the men of Iowa football over the next month. They will be needed.
Yeah, they're gonna be
worked a little bit, but
T's and P's to the boys.
I mean, for real, honestly though, like the 2023 season starts this week.
It does. It does.
Facts.
And the boys will be all right. Like they're gonna be better for it. You know, you got to go through a little hell. You know, like what's the song? If you're going through hell, keep on going.
Don't turn back.
Yeah, it's one of those situations, but. In the upcoming podcast, we might even try and get it pre-recorded so I can drop it whenever this baby comes. But Brad,
when is it, Clover?
Any day now.
What?
The 19th is the due date, brother. We're 38 weeks.
Bruh, that thing's almost cooked.
About to go ding, you know?
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I'm basically a dad. I mean, it's...
Don't overcook it.
Lauren would be appreciative if it didn't overcook.
She's tired of being pregnant or what?
Yeah, she's tired of being pregnant. We're going to have Brad on from the Swarm Collective. Maybe we can talk about our idea a little bit with him on live on the air and also talk about the work that they've been doing because, again, like, you know, the word is that they were... a big part of this Cade McNamara thing.
Shout out to him.
And we're going to have him on back for another episode. Scott Sipker sent me the link.
Let's get Cade McNamara on in his first day in Iowa City.
Honestly thought about it.
Just meet him there and I'll be ready.
Thought about it. So we'll work on that. Sipker sent me the link so that I can get it to you two for the Niall Kinnick documentary so that you guys can watch it. And then we're going to have Scott back on to talk about what we thought of it and kind of do a rehash of that like we talked about we were going to do. So I'll send that link to you guys. So those two episodes will be upcoming in this sort of bowl prep season. And, of course, we'll, you know, the three of us will figure some other dumb shit to talk about or people to bring on as we head into this off season. But I want to thank you guys for listening to 374. We'll keep giving our opinions on the happenings of Iowa football, and hope you have a fantastic week. Till next time. Peace.
Peace.